Is consciousness a miracle? What, in your view, consciousness means?
Same things can be looked from many different directions. First of all, what is a miracle? If you put filth in the soil, it becomes a miracle. If you put a piece of bread into this, this becomes a complex human body. This is a miracle. This one way of looking at. When we say a miracle, when what we see, the phenomena that we see, is not easily available to a logical process, we say this is miraculous. Of course, the word miracle has been taken to another place by religious groups and stuff. But essentially, in human experience, a miracle means you saw yesterday you planted a seed and today it's become a beautiful flower. It's miraculous. Because you can, of course, there is somebody there who can explain exactly how filth became a flower, how the stinking filth became a fragrant flower, can be explained, but not easily available to human logic. So we say this is miraculous. Calling something miraculous does not mean it is not available to any reason. Calling something miraculous essentially means we appreciate the magic of life. Well, our parents gave us only one cell each. They could have given us a million and made life easy, but they gave us only one, and here we are sitting talking all this. This is a miracle. Well, we can always talk about how cells multiplied, what happened, this. But you can't do this in a drum. You can't put this in a barrel and do this. So this is a miraculous process that it's happening. So one way of looking at it is you can explain everything about life. Another way is just everything in life is magical and miraculous. What is logical? Logic is the most fundamental aspect of our intelligence. If you don't have a firm sense of logic, you will be all over the place. But logic is the foundation. We make a strong foundation for this building, not to live in the foundation. So we don't live in the foundation, we make a strong foundation because we want to build something else on it. So in this sense, whatever comes out of this earth is quite miraculous. How a worm-like caterpillar becomes a butterfly. Just about anything. Look at it from human wonder. There is a miraculous process to it. We can explain some physical aspect of how it happens. But what intelligence makes this happen? It is quite miraculous. There's no question about it. About consciousness, one thing is I've strived hard to remain uneducated and also strived very hard to remain uncivilized. Why this is so is because most of the striving in people's lives is to become educated, to become civilized. Anything accumulated diminishes your perception. Both your education and civilization is an accumulated process. Once you accumulate these things and identify with those things, your ability to see life as is becomes seriously impaired. From this context, it's very difficult to remain uncivilized and uneducated because from the moment you're born, your parents, every other adult, the moment they see a child, adults have a kind of an urge, they want to educate the child, teach them ABC, 1, 2, 3, Mary had a little lamb, something. Consciously remaining uninfluenced by all the information that's thrown at you in so many different ways. School is not the only place where it happens. At home, anywhere you go, people are throwing stuff at you. To remain uninfluenced by that is a lot of work. Education is a lot of work, I understand this. Remaining uneducated is a lot more work, I'm telling you, because every moment somebody is trying to educate you, knowingly or unknowingly. So, having said that, to be able to look at life just the way it is, then this word consciousness, if we're talking about a human being conscious right now, that all of you are conscious in that sense, that is, yes, you're conscious. Human beings being conscious, of course, if you're not conscious, there's nothing here for you. But consciousness, an English word, consciousness, doesn't really represent that, but generally we think we are talking about an intelligence beyond our own intellect, which is functioning within us right now. When I say functioning, well, you can explain the physical process of many things, but a piece of bread doesn't look like you, feel like you, nor does it have your intelligence, but if you put it inside, in some way it becomes you. This is a miraculous process of consciousness. See, first of all, human mind, this brain-centric approach, we don't look at it that way. We see, as there is a physical body, there is a mental body. When I say a mental body, every cell in your body has enormous memory, far more memory than your brain can ever hold, because this remembers how your forefathers were a million years ago. It's not forgotten a thing, even the skin texture, it's not forgotten to that extent. So every cell in the body carries enormous memory, and the kind of functions that it is doing is unbelievable. So it has intelligence and it has memory. Essentially, in human understanding, what we call as mind is a certain combination of memory and intelligence. So that is spread right across the system. Whether human beings have learned to use that or no, because this whole thing about in the today's modern education process, we are made to believe only thought is intelligence. No. Our thought is rudimentary because it's only functioning from the little data that we have collected. The data that I have collected, how much ever I have collected, it is still minuscule in this cosmos. It is like in the morning also we were talking about this. If I give you a trillion piece jigsaw, if you put 5 pieces together, you say this is a bear. If you get 8, you will say this is an elephant. If you get 12, you will say this is a dinosaur. If you get 15, maybe you will call it a whale. I don't know. Just arriving at conclusions every time we get a piece of information is not the way to conclude about what we are referring to as consciousness. Being conscious, you being conscious, let's use different words so that there is a distinction. Right now, let's say you're aware. I'm just replacing the word conscious. Replacing the word conscious with being aware. You're aware. In the yogic sciences, we call this prajna. You are right now prajna. If you fall asleep, you are not conscious or you are not aware. Let's use the word awareness to make a distinction. But beyond intellect, this intellect, how it functions, is operated by what we are identified with. Depending upon what we are identified with, accordingly the intellect wails itself. Right now, people are fighting for nationhood, people are fighting for religion, people are fighting for race, people are fighting for whatever they believe in. Simply because they're identified with it, and in their intellect, this says, this is the way. There are no two ways about it. Two groups of people or two individuals, when they're quarreling, both of them believe this is it, otherwise they won't risk their life. Hello? When somebody pitches their life for something, you must believe that it matters to them and they believe that's it. Unfortunately, it is just that it is your identity which makes you use your intelligence in this form. So there are various dimensions of memory which plays out through this identity. Beyond this, there is an intelligence which is unsullied by memory. This is what we refer to as chitta. And generally, that's what I would understand as consciousness. You being aware is different. Consciousness is different. What is the nature of this? Where does this come from? As I said, I have strived for a whole lifetime to remain uneducated. It's not easy. Try and see. Try and see how your parental influence, your cultural influence, your religious influence, your whatever else it is around you doesn't play in your mind at this moment. Try and see. Whichever way you try to think, it'll work because your thought works from data. And data has come from all these sources. To be able to simply be here without allowing the data to play up in your mind, it takes a lot of work. So from that context, I'm saying, what we are referring to as consciousness is that which is the very basis of our creation. Well, somebody may call it God. It's up to them because they're trying to personalize that in their life. Because they can't relate to anything which is not in a human form, they're saying that. But there are so many people of Indian origin here. They have man god, they have woman god, they have cow god, they have snake god, they have monkey god, they have every crawling, creeping, every kind. Because according to wherever they were living, they made that into their god. Essentially, what they are looking for is personification of the source of what is happening. Because we cannot explain this source, because logically we cannot conclude, the only way is to experience. How will you experience? What are the different ways to experience? There are four aspects in yoga. This is called as karma, kriya, jnana, bhakti. What this means is these are four dimensions of your existence. You have a physical body. So through action, you can realize certain things. You have an intelligence. Through your intelligence, you can realize certain things. If you realize through your action, we call this karma yoga. If you realize through your intelligence, we call this jnana yoga. If you realize through your emotion, we call this bhakti yoga, yoga of devotion or emotion. If you realize by transforming your inner energies, we call this kriya yoga. These are the only four things you can do no matter what you do, whether you do religion or you do intellectual stuff, you do education, you do devotion, you do whatever. You can use your body or your mind or your emotion or your energy. This is all that's happening. These four things. All these four are pathways. But at the same time, is there anybody here who is just one big body and don't have a mind or don't have an emotion or energy? No. We are a combination of these four things. Why are we so different? Because we are a unique combination of these four things. In one person, the body may be dominant. In another person, their emotions may be dominant. In another person, their intellect may be dominant. Each person has a different mix of the same things. But these four things are the possibility of knowing. So what we are referring to as consciousness is that aspect of creation which is intelligent but unsullied by memory. Without memory, it doesn't have an intent. It doesn't manifest. Without memory, it doesn't have a direction. It's just there. If it finds little memory, it finds expression. If you want to prove everything with logical steps, as I said, logic is the foundation of our living here. But foundation is not the place to live. So, first of all, if we separate what is awareness and what is consciousness, I think a lot of these different opinions will go away. About a miracle, well, those who want to enjoy their life, appreciate life and really experience life, they will look everything from a magical eye. Those who want to dissect life, they will look at it from a logical aspect of life. It's not a question of right and wrong. It's just two different ways of doing the same thing.
What is that unknown that we have that influences behavior?
The significance of being a human being, not a human creature, is just this. All of us definitely come with a certain amount of information from our parentage. We pick up much more through our childhood and maybe adolescence and stuff. But still, will we limit ourselves to the information that's come to us and what we have gathered? Or will we go beyond that? Is what human being is about. If we are just a replica of parentage in whatever way, small modifications and this, human life has gone waste. Because this is why you're a human being. That means you can transcend whatever your body speaks, whatever your mind speaks. Beyond that, you can transcend and make yourself into something well beyond what the information that the body and the mind carries. If you do not exercise this choice, in many ways, human possibility has gone waste. Because we are not exploring the possibility of being a being. We are just trying to be a better creature than others. In competition, we may earn better, we may qualify better, we may run better, we may jump better. But this is just being a better creature, which all the other creatures are doing. Every other creature is striving to be competitive and being better than another one. So this possibility that you can actually distance yourself from your genetic information, where even the shape of their face will change within a matter of few days. If they go through certain initiation processes, you will see the very shape of their face will change. Because once the genetic information, there's a distance between you and that, suddenly there are phenomenal changes. We are doing these things to distance ourselves from our parentage. Because if the influence of parental genetics are too heavy on us, we will not be a fresh life. We will just be a copy. So we want to be a fresh life. So all the time there are many processes, many methods, both when they are living and when they are gone. Both ways we have methods with which we distance ourselves from our own genetics. Because without that there is no new life. It's just a repeated life. So this whole process of doing things with the genetic memory, the energetic memory, the chemical memory in the system. Well, Bala is doing research right now on how your chemistry can be changed within 4 to 6 weeks of doing a simple 21-minute practice. Is well established. Nobody can question that, because our idea of truth has to come from lab. This idea must go. Truth comes from life. Life and deeper experiences of life. Is everybody here experiencing life at the same level of profoundness? Definitely not, isn't it? So can we enhance this? Definitely yes. How many will enhance it? It's a question of willingness. It's a question of how much life you're willing to invest in enhancement of your experience. Most people are interested in enhancement of their social presence, their economic presence, and other things. But essentially, all the things that we are doing. See, why we want education, why we want wealth, why we want relationships is we believe these things will enhance the experience of life, isn't it? Hello? It may or it may not, that's a different matter. But the hope is that it'll enhance. In some ways it will enhance, in some ways it may not help. These things are happening, that's individual. With some people, they may make use of their education and wealth in a fantastic way. Whole lot of people make misery out of their money. These are different people. So what we make out of enhancements of social and other structures is different. But enhancement of life, the very life that I am, the very being that I am, enhancing that, there is a way, there is a methodology. There are cultures who have invested millennia of effort in this direction, which cannot be wiped out. And that is the most important thing right now in the world, because science and technology has brought more comfort and convenience that people are ready for, unfortunately. They're not able to enjoy their comfort and convenience. Today the problem is not of hunger. The problem is of overeating. All right? At least a third of the people are suffering from obesity and stuff. So it's important that this time we know how to enhance this life. Not enhance just our life situations and our lifestyles.